Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 64 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. If you're a first-time listener, this podcast is a series, and it looks like I'm going to completely mix up the series this month. This week, I interview Camille Knight. Camille is a logical creative, and she'll be telling her story how she found a way to marry her love for data and creativity to become a Tableau expert who makes beautiful dashboards for executives, and she's made this transition in her 50s. More on that shortly. Next is an interview with an expert, which usually comes first, but second this month. This month, I have Hannah Morgan of Career Sherpa fame. Hannah started in the career space right before the Great Recession. I'm going to put Hannah in a time machine and send her back to 2007 and let us know what job search was like back then. I will then put her back in the time machine to bring her back to the current day and then send her to 2028 and have her tell the audience how things have changed. The third in the series is a topic of my choice. I'm thinking of doing an episode on FOMO, or fear of missing out. Yep, this is affecting me, and I am sure a lot of you, when you are about to make a major change. My major change is our move to Mexico. The last in the series is the mailbag episode where I answer your questions, which was last week's episode. This week, I have the joy to interview Camille Knight. Let me read you her bio. Camille is a logical creative. She is the confluence of creativity and mathematics. Camille grew up as a gymnast, dancer, ice skater, singer, and photographer, while at the same time was a member of the Mathematics Honor Society, Mu Alpha Theta. She spent much of her career focusing on the analytical side of herself because that's what the world was willing to pay her for. Over the last few years, she turned herself into a Tableau developer where she gets to create beautiful and understandable business dashboards. She now gets to activate both sides of her brain and get paid pretty darn well for it. Before we get in the interview, let me tell you, this was not an easy journey for Camille, and there were some pretty painful patches for her, which we do not discuss on purposely, but she has persevered and moved on, and I really want you to hear her story. I hope you enjoy this episode. Camille, thank you for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I read your bio to the audience, and I mentioned you're a logical creative, and the fact that you're the confluence of creativity and art and mathematics. So can you tell me how this kind of came about in your childhood?
Well, I came from a very creative family, and I was always encouraged to express myself creatively through the arts, whether it be, you know, drawing or writing or even through some form of athletics like gymnastics, or I took lots of dance, tap and jazz, ballet. Then I discovered ice skating, and I really, in my teens, I was quite a passionate ice skater. I competed. And then after that, I started taking voice lessons, started singing. When it came time to pick a major, when I was going to college, my practicality won over and I chose business. And then I looked at all the different ways that I could major in business and I go, oh, marketing looks like the most creative one. And while I was in high school, I was very good in math, was in the Mu Alpha Theta, you know, Math Honor Society. But even in high school, I didn't really appreciate what it was to be so right-left brain balanced and to be so good in math. I actually scored higher on my math and my SAT, which was not usual for women at that time. So, yeah, that's kind of how it all started.
So you went off to college. You went to University of Texas, is that right?
Yes, I went to UT.
And got a got your marketing degree. And what did you do with that?
Well, when I graduated, the economy was down in the dumps. Everybody was really struggling to find any kind of job right out of college. Sound familiar?
That's right. This was the early 80s, right?
This was the mid 80s.
Okay.
So I wound up working for the U.S. Senate, an administrative role. And it was a great opportunity to learn about our government and all the different parts of our government, you know, beyond the history we get when we're in school. But it was not a creative job. And so I just actually really stressful for me. And I wound up going back to school as an applied voice major at that point. I got a little frustrated with trying to make it in the business world, I guess. I found that role really unfulfilling. So I went back to school as an applied voice major for one semester and really enjoyed it. Towards the end of that semester, I decided I'm going to perform. So then I spent 6 years performing as a singer.
What kind of singer?
I sing everything from jazz to jazz standards to rock and roll to country, the national anthem, just pretty much all around.
So you were a singer for 6 years, then what?
And then I came back to Austin. I worked another series of jobs, which were largely administrative in nature. And then I got tapped at one point to apply for a business analyst job. And I was like, a business analyst? What the heck is that? And so I looked at it and go, wow, that's something I could probably do really well. So I took the initiative and signed up for a business analyst course at ACC, and I just loved it. I just took to it like a duck to water, and it made sense and was so happy because after being largely unfulfilled with work in a long time, I thought I had discovered exactly what it was that I was supposed to be doing all along. Then I went back to school at one point and did the project management professional training course and also a SQL course. It was while I was taking the SQL course that I really began to really embrace my inner nerd and really understand even further just how much I loved working with numbers and how good I was at it. Then I started working at VMware.
I'm going to stop you there. At various different times, you've been an employee. VMware, you went to being there as a contractor. How was that different for you? Did you like it?
Yes, I really liked working on contract. I liked the freedom. It just felt like more freedom.
Well, one of the key pieces, you're kind of different from a lot of my clientele in the fact that you like being a contractor.
Yes, I really do like being a contractor. I like the variety of the jobs, but I also like working for a company for a period of time and becoming a subject matter expert in a particular part of the business. And while I was working one contract job, my world changed again when I started using software called Tableau Desktop. I'd been a power user of Excel for many, many years, you know, embedding formulas. And so when I met Tableau, I was, you know, it was like fireworks went off. It was like love at first sight. I just loved it. And I guess somewhere around beginning part of 2015. So why did you
love Tableau?
I love Tableau because it allowed me to be creative with numbers and to tell the story in a visual way. So it kind of married two sides of my brain at once and just was really, really satisfying to work.
Can you give the audience a kind of an idea what Tableau is? Because not everybody may know that.
Tableau is a data visualization tool that allows you to create various different types of charts using data so that you could tell the story of data. You may have seen work made with Tableau. Just about any news article that has a really gorgeous chart, almost always that was made with Tableau. I like it because you're not quite a graphic designer. It's more, you're more on the fly, but you can create something that's really great looking quickly, provide that to executives to make, help them make business decisions and to take action. So you can not only tell the story, but you could also inform the decision makers with very valuable information on giving context and helping, informing them to make better decisions. So
getting to use Tableau kind of married the two sides of your brain.
Yes.
And I imagine that was pretty darn satisfying.
It was really satisfying. And, you know, when it drifted slowly into the organization I was working at the time. And when I first saw it, I was just like, I wanted to start using it immediately. Then I finally did get a license. And then pretty shortly after, I went to the advanced Tableau training. It's like a 2-day course. And I just wanted to know more and more and more. And last year at the Tableau conference here in Austin, I took the certification exam, and I am now a Tableau qualified associate.
What have you been doing with Tableau for the last couple of years?
I have been using Tableau the last couple of years to inform the decision makers, executives, about the performance of several organizations in the healthcare sector in relation to how well they're serving the covered population. Primarily, the more intricate parts of these dashboards had to do with clinical quality metrics. And we used not only bar charts, but also I used the proportion control chart that has quite a lot of mathematical background in order to create it. And that was like the funnest puzzle to figure out how to make it work and how to color each point according to the signals of the chart without going into like, without speaking in equation talk, you know. It was just, it was very challenging, but it was really fun. And it involved color. And so it was just, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I find people like yourself take great joy in taking data and then putting it in an image or a picture that conveys a story. And that takes both sides of the brain. And for recovering engineers like me, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, well, it's pretty natural. I don't know. It was just a really good fit for me. And I'm really delighted, you know, it came into my life. What can I say? I'm really grateful. It took a while to find a niche for someone like me. And I'm just glad it finally did come, because I was not really happy just doing pure administrative work.
Yeah. So you came out of that administrative world. You went back and got your BA certificate. You got your PMP. You could have easily kind of gone bleh, and given up, but you didn't. What motivated you?
That's true. So the BA certificate, the business analyst certificate, I really enjoyed that body of work, but I knew that I didn't want to be a classic PMP because that was so word-oriented. I knew that analysis and reporting and dashboarding would be where I wanted to be, but I didn't know quite how to get there. And when I got the PMP, the Project Management Professional Certification, that certainly greatly and vastly improved the types of jobs that I could apply for. But again, oh my goodness gracious, I did not want to be a project manager. I mean, I had absolutely no interest at all. Now, could I use those skills in reporting and analysis? Absolutely, because each request for a dashboard is like a little project in and of itself. I used my business analyst skills to elicit the requirements from the requester, because almost always they don't know what they want. They just want hey, get me a big number to put on a slide. I want to impress my boss. But when you drill down, start asking them, what are the problems you're trying to solve? What are the when you see this dashboard finished, what decisions are you going to make? And that almost always stumps them. But it's a great exercise to follow through with them on those types of questions, because in the end, it makes a much more efficient and useful dashboard for them. And it truly does inform them to the decisions they make and the actions they take. If it just tells them a number, it's just a fun fact. I mean, so what? It's a big number. Is that good or bad? Or what do you do with that big number? So I really like to make sure that the dashboards I create are meaningful and value to the organization.
Camille, you're about to take a new job as a contract consultant, and you just went through several interviews that you were pretty terrified walking into. How did you walk out of those interviews feeling?
Well, it's funny. For the one that I got, that I actually got the job, that kind of came out of nowhere. So I learned something that if a job comes to you out of nowhere, that's probably going to be one of your best interviews ever, because you dead set seeking it, you know? And so I went into the interview with like the attitude of, well, what do I have to lose? Just be myself, right? And that's what I did. And I don't know how I could replicate that for any interview that I ever do in the future, but that is definitely, for me, that is the best mindset to enter any interview. Because it just went great. And I really connected with the interviewer. And yeah, I was able to really dazzle them with the value I could provide their organization. What can I say?
Well, what I also remember is you were going to go in and talk to one of the Tableau consultants.
Oh, yeah.
And you were all worried.
Well, before I even got to interview for the job, the recruiter wanted me to talk to a Tableau sales consultant at Tableau. And I was like, oh my goodness, this guy's going to know everything about Tableau. He's going to really show my stuff. And I started a conversation with him, and I quickly dispelled all of that fear. It was absolutely not that at all. I found it to be a really useful conversation in that it did really help me to understand the type of Tableau developer I was. I don't just create charts and that's it. I actually am a content developer. I actually do more than just create plain old charts. I like to add content and value and understanding. You know, what I was talking about earlier about walking through the whole elicitation process with the stakeholder, you know, and finding out what they actually need, and therefore creating a more valuable dashboard. So, that again was validated with my conversation with this big, fancy, you know, Tableau sales consultant. Oh, my goodness. And so that was very useful, too.
You are the second client I've had in the last month who, I need to talk to this really smart person. And you walk out of the meeting going, wow, I'm a lot smarter than I thought it was.
Yeah, pretty much so.
That's very reaffirming. And I like to say you were suffering from MSU. You were making stuff up. That this guy, he was a sales consultant. Probably is a nice guy.
Yes. Very nice guy.
Sales consultants typically are. But they don't know that much. You suddenly discovered it. You're pretty darn smart. You know a whole lot. Which probably, tell me if I'm wrong here, probably set you up to do a much better job when you went and talked to the end client for the interview, main interview.
Yes, absolutely. That's the truth. Yep, that's pretty much how it happened.
So now you're this big, fancy Tableau consultant. When you took that business analyst job, did you ever foresee that you would be where you are today?
No. And I've had this concept for a long time. Like many of us, the likelihood of retirement does not seem realistic. But also, I like to work. I've had this concept for a while called soft retirement. And it's sort of like when I think ahead 10 to 20 years, what do I want my life to look like? And I was like, ask myself. I said, well, I don't think I really want to stop working because I finally found something I really enjoy. I'd like to continue doing that. So what does that look like? And I was like, I would like to have the freedom to take 4 to 6 weeks off in the summer. And I'd also like the option of having breaks in between jobs and maybe even drop back to 20 or 30 hours a week, just have more flexibility with my time. So, so I think this next job is a real positive step in that direction. And I had no idea that I could make this happen. I mean, I was thinking it would take 15 years and here I am, almost in that role, almost, not quite, pretty much getting there. And
how long has it taken? 6 or 7 years? 5 years?
5 years. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 5 years. So
the key piece here is, yes, things didn't quite turn out the way you planned. Of course, you didn't really plan it. You were open to the possibilities. The goodness is you hit Tableau at a very good time, i.e. there are no experts. It's too new.
Right.
And you gravitated to it and you sucked it up. You just kind of, you've been sucking from a fire hose, but it's been an enjoyable fire hose to drink from.
I've dug in deep. I found something I really enjoy and I love to learn.
Do you have any advice, having learned all this in the last 5 years, if you were to advise someone who's heading down this path, what advice would you give them?
Keep trying, literally. I mean, just keep trying. That's what it boils down to in the simplest form. Just keep trying, trying new things, trying to learn, trying one more job interview. Just you never know when this seemingly streak of bad luck will break and then, there's the sunshine, come streaming in. It's been an enjoyable journey because I have discovered something I enjoyed, but doors didn't open immediately for me. I had to keep working and I had to keep trying to get better and better. So, and I still am learning every day and there's still lots for me to learn, but that is exciting to me. And I look forward to learning more.
I met Camille. Camille used to be my neighbor. I knew Camille when she went through some hard times. She went through some unemployment. When she got her BA certificate, I encouraged her to go take a contract job because the threshold to hire is much lower. And that first contract job, they just interviewed over the phone and just hired you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very quick, very fast. Unfortunately, very many of us at our age, and I always talk about the fact that I'm going to be 62 here in a few months, is I need that full-time job. And contract work is just fine. In fact, for you, contract work is probably better because it gives you the freedom you want, gives you the freedom and flexibility.
Exactly. And that, even now in the infancy of my consulting career, no, I probably won't take 6 weeks off next summer. But if I wanted to take 2.5 or 3 weeks, I don't think it'd be a problem at all. Whereas if you knew it was a full-time job, they might, in your first year of employment, it might be a little bit more difficult to do that.
One of the key aspects of the people in my online community, and I'll be talking about more of this after the interview, is the fact that everybody wants freedom. They want freedom to work how hard they want to work, where they want to work, and when they want to work. And for many of us, as we get to the second half of life, that becomes really important. And very often, we can't have that in a J-O-B, in full-time employment. Camille, as I've told you before, I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you. You have come a long way, baby. And that's one reason why I wanted to have you on this podcast. Thank you for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Well, it's been my delight, and thank you for all your help and guidance along the way. My goodness, I really could not have done it without you. So thank you. And to all your listeners out there, just keep trying. That's my advice.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Camille is a survivor and continues to pursue her dreams. She started a new job last week, and this is just another step in the journey. Please pick up a copy of Repurpose Your Career, a practical guide for the second half of life at Amazon.com or any of the other fine online retailers. And when you complete reading the book, I would very much appreciate if you would write an honest review on Amazon.com. The audio version of this book is now available on iTunes, Audible, and Amazon, and I'll be giving away one or more free copies of the audio version of the book if you'll do the following. Please write a comment in the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-64 with your thoughts on Camille's story. Lastly, I'm working on the community website. The website is alive and in production. What I am discovering is this is a very unique endeavor in that it is the only online community solely focused on careers for the 50-plus community. No one else is doing this anywhere in the world. By the time this episode airs, I should have filled up my second cohort, and I'm now soliciting people for the third cohort. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor and would like to be put on the waiting list for one of the succeeding cohorts, please go to careerpivot.com/community. When you sign up, you'll receive more information about the community as it evolves. I have two initial cohorts of 10 individuals, all of whom are in the second half of life, and they're guiding me on what to build. I'm looking for individuals who are motivated to take action and are willing to give me input on what I should produce next. It is those who are in these initial cohorts get to set the direction of this endeavor. I'm currently working on LinkedIn and blogging training. I plan on having 4 to 5 beta groups, which will be brought in 10 at a time, where I'll be accepting input on the needs of the community. This is a paid membership community where I will be offering group coaching, special content, and more importantly, it will be a community where you can seek help. Please go to careerpivot.com/community to sign up to learn more. Check back next week when I interview Hannah Morgan. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-64. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. I publish a blog post with show notes every Tuesday morning. If you subscribe to the Career Pivot blog, you will receive the Career Pivot Insights email every Sunday, which includes a link to this podcast. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.